I want to talk to you for a few moments about birthing new vision. Whenever we enter into a new year, I'm always thinking, I mean, not just in a new year, but really, I'm always thinking about vision and how important vision is. So today, on this last day of 2023, and as we go into a new year, I want to talk to you about birthing new vision. The classic verse of Scripture that most preachers and pastors go to when they deal with vision is Proverbs 29:18. So I'm going to stay in that vein today. So Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, this is in the Amplified Bible, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Now let me give you that in the Message Bible of Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. I love that. If they can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend what he reveals, they are most blessed. This classic verse of Scripture on vision is so necessary to experience all that God has for us in the new year. How many of you want to get what God has for you in 2024? Come on, somebody. Amen. We don't want to miss it. We want to get it. We want to get all that he has. So this verse is teaching us that without a revelation of God, people perish. The idea that we have communicated here is that people are perishing spiritually. And we see that all around us. People are perishing spiritually. If they have no prophetic revelation of what God is doing and what he wants to do in all of our lives, the Scripture says they are perishing. See, because without vision, we have no sense of purpose. Without vision, we have no sense of a divine destiny. And so many are bound by spiritual strongholds of sin, addiction, negative mindsets. So many. But God has a spiritual inheritance, but it must be possessed. We can waste years of our lives missing out on what God has for us. I don't want to be in that category. How about you? Can I get an amen? It doesn't happen automatic. So we have to grab hold of what God has for us. So there's four thoughts I want to submit to you today. Here's the first one. Vision sees into the spiritual realm. Vision sees into the spiritual realm. Vision involves seeing beyond the natural realm into the realm of the spiritual world. You know, I'm always reminded, Stephanie's going to love this illustration, my daughter. I'm always reminded of Walt Disney when he started Disney World. And, you know, it's an incredible park, right? Family, it's been, you know, a place where families have gone for generations now. And at the dedication ceremony, you know, Walt Disney had passed away. At the dedication ceremony I can't remember exactly what point of the history of the park this was at, but Walt Disney had already passed away, and someone that was at the pulpit or at the podium, they weren't in a church, said that it's a shame that he couldn't see this. And his wife got up and she said, I want to say something. He did see this. And that was an illustration of vision. See, but that's not the kind of vision that I'm talking about today. That's a vision in the realm of the natural, of building, you know, a great enterprise, a great business. But I want to talk to you in the realm of the spiritual realm. Because vision, when we talk about spiritual vision, we are talking about God. And vision involves seeing beyond the natural realm into the realm of the spiritual world. When we are living with vision, we understand that God is advancing His plan, and He has made us an integral part of that plan. If you are a born-again child of God, God has made you an integral part of His plan. That's exciting. Oh, man, one of the things, when I first got born again, one of the things that just really motivated me was when I got a revelation, God wants to use you. And I was like, God wants to use me? Man, how awesome is that? How exciting is that? My friend, that's what connects us to vision. See, God has a plan, and He's made us part of it. When I have vision, I have obtained a revelation of what God intends for me. And vision keeps moving me forward in that plan. Keeps moving me forward. See, God is at work in our lives, moving us forward in the power of faith and expectancy. When vision is operating within us, it becomes a compelling force in our lives. I've been preaching the gospel for quite a few years now. Becky and I ordained in 1983. And, I have a lot of, in our ministers organization, I'm connected to a lot of pastors, a lot of missionaries, a lot of evangelists, and a lot of people in ministry, they take sabbaticals. And every time I hear that, and I'm not, this is just me. I'm like, what is that? God puts something in me, and I want to do it all the time. I don't take a sabbatical from my wife. Amen, Becky? I don't take a sabbatical from what I love or who I love. I don't take a sabbatical from my children. Y'all with me? So I truly don't understand that concept of a sabbatical. Because when there is vision within you, I don't take a sabbatical from vision. Because I am always pressing in to what God has next. Because when vision is operating, it is a compelling force. I don't take a sabbatical from fishing. Yeah. If I lived on the bayou, my line would be in the water every day. Unless Becky had me at the mall. So at least maybe it'd be 50-50. But when vision is operating, it is a compelling force. It drives you, it moves you, it motivates you. Because it happens on the inside. Now, let me give you an example in the book of Acts chapter 26. The Bible tells us there was a man by the name of Saul. Hated the gospel, hated the name of Jesus. He was a persecutor of the church, responsible for killing believers. But God had a plan for him. Amen? God had a plan for him. So Saul, whose name would be changed to Paul, is relating his testimony before King Agrippa. And this is what he says in Acts 26. He's sharing his testimony. And he said that I had an encounter with the Lord. And he said, here was the message that he gave me. He said, arise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, that I might appoint you to serve as my minister and to bear witness both to what you have seen of me and to that in which I appear to you. Choosing you out, selecting you for myself. God told Paul, who was Saul, who hated the name of Christ, God said, I have chosen you for myself. Hallelujah. See, we're about to see something about vision. He said, this was his message, choosing you out, selecting you to myself, and delivering you from among this Jewish people and the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. Darkness, here's the objective, to open their eyes to God so that they may receive, or so that they may thus receive forgiveness, release from their sins, and a place, listen to this, a place and a portion among those who are consecrated and purified by faith. He said, wherefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now notice that. He says it's heavenly. Notice that Paul says the vision was of heavenly origin. Vision sees into the spiritual realm. We live in a world that we have to live in every day, where as a believer influences us. We have to deal with the world, where as a believer, I have to be very careful what I allow into my eye gate. Are you still with me? I have to be careful with bad apples. Well, let's go a little further. See, your vision is going to keep you in the right realm. Paul says his vision was of heavenly origin. Now, what that means is that Paul had a prophetic revelation. Remember our verse in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. So Paul had a prophetic revelation. Things that are prophetic point us to the future. God's prophetic vision for Paul was that he would take the gospel to the Gentile world. Now, Paul would be an instrument in the hands of God. The objective of this heavenly vision was to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God. When we experience vision, we step into God's plan and God. We experience vision, we are a participant. How many of God's people today are living as spectators because they have no vision? They have no vision. So they're living as spectators. When there's no vision, the people perish. God wants to give you spiritual vision, just as he did with Paul. God is always advancing his divine plan. Listen, he's always moving it forward. God is always moving his plan forward. He's never on vacation. He's always moving. He's always working. He's always accomplishing his plan and what he wants to do. He's always advancing it. And he wants to bring you and I into that plan. Now, here's a verse of scripture that is very popular. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. That verse is quoted a lot. Let's put it in context. Israel had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. 70 years. They were in Babylonian captivity. So God, in the context, that 70 years had been prophesied. It was declared by the Old Testament prophet. But now it was coming to an end. And they were going to be released. They were going to be released and they would return to their homeland. So in that context, then God says this to Israel. Now all of their mistakes, all of their mess ups, all of their sin, God still says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. Hallelujah. That should encourage all of us. Listen, you may have been in captivity for 50 years. God says, I have a plan and a purpose for you. And what is that purpose? He says, it's thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future. Now make a connection. He said to give you a future and a hope. All right, so Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, where there is no redemptive revelation. And what is the prophetic revelation? It's always looking forward. It's always advancing into the future. Do you see that connection? Do you see the connection? So God says, I have thoughts of peace for you, not of evil. God has a plan to give you a future and a hope. And what is prophetic revelation that's talked about in Proverbs 29:18? A prophetic future. Do you see this? So Jeremiah is connecting the Israelites to vision. Just like we read right here in Jeremiah 29:11. Let me move on to the next thing. Because boy, this is very, very, very important right here. Vision comes from our spirit. Let me give you this in Isaiah 66. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? That can't happen. Shall a nation be born all at once? That can't happen. He's given us some symbolism here. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? Now, what's the title of my message? Birthing New Vision. Don't miss this. God said, shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? Do you see that? That's a very important statement. See, when God gives us this kind of insight, he's birthing something within us. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord. Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God. He's talking about Israel's rebirth. That's what he's talking about. They're fighting over there today. It's terrible what's going on, right? The land belongs to Israel. Always has. Always win. It goes back to the Old Testament. God gave it to them. It's their land. Now, I don't have time to get into the Jewish diaspora and all of those things today, but it was a miracle of God of their rebirth in 1948, recognized by the United Nations. Amazing what's happened. Amazing how the Word of God is being unfolded before our very eyes in this era that we are living in today. It was all talked about in Scripture. It's all in the Bible, which is the Word of God. So he's talking about Israel's rebirth here. Now, just as there is a natural birth process that brings a baby into the world, there is also a spiritual process to birth a vision. And that's why I want you to get this illustration today. See, God is the one who puts vision in your spirit. Spiritual vision is conceived on the inside of us. When a person is born again, when a man or woman is born again, their spirit becomes activated. When someone has a spiritual rebirth, there is an immediate impartation of the Spirit of God into them. It's a miracle of God. It's what he does. It's supernatural. It's what God does. There is an immediate impartation. When someone is born again, they are cleansed and forgiven of all of their sins. And so then as believers, they are now part of God's household of faith. They now have a totally new life in the Spirit. Totally new. Everything has changed because the Holy Spirit has come in. See, it's supernatural. They now have a totally new life. This awesome new birth is what the Bible calls regeneration and renewal. Listen to how Titus describes it in 3:5. Or Paul writing to Titus in Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy by the cleansing bath, of the new birth. When you become a born again child of God, your life is cleaned. Hallelujah. He cleans you up. We catch the fish, God cleans them. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So he says, he has saved us not because of anything we've done. It's all because of his own pity and mercy. By the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this new birth experience is what makes your spirit alive unto God. Y'all got credit cards? Get a new credit card. Get credit card offers all the time. What do you have to do with that card? That's right. You have to activate it. Right? You get a new phone. People are starting to make fun of me about my phone because it's an iPhone 8. That thing is ancient. It's a push button on the bottom. I like that feature. And it's debt free. Took many revolving plans, many months of a revolving plan to pay that thing off. But you get a new phone. That phone's dead until it is activated. Right? So that's how the human spirit is. The human spirit, because it has been separated from God, it is not activated. That's why you can go walk into the French Quarter. There's a lot of parties out there. It's New Year's Eve, right? Going to be a big night tonight. Sugar Bowl tomorrow. I'm going to be checking that out for sure. A lot going on. Now, how many of you know all those thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are out there, they're not thinking about the Lord. Unless their spirit's activated, then even in the midst of their tourism, if their spirit's activated, they are thinking about the Lord. See, because there has to be an activation. And it happens in the realm of the spirit. Spiritual birth happens in the innermost part of one's being. It happens in the spirit of everyone who has given their life to Jesus Christ. We don't know how to respond to God if we don't have the Holy Spirit. A moment of salvation, because we have not been activated. When the Holy Spirit, at the moment of salvation, when someone repents of their sin, sells out to Jesus, the Bible says there is a supernatural impartation. It's described right here in Titus 3:5. He calls it the work, the new birth of regeneration and the renewing, or we could say the activation of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful concept. People who are not spiritually reborn, they have a dead, deactivated spirit. If I go to the ATM, my card's good as long as I've made a deposit. Right? If there's no money, there's no green coming out of the candy machine. I remember years ago, I think it was Josiah, actually. You know, he was wanting something that was like, well, we don't have any money. So, well, let's go to the bank and get it out of that machine. I said, well, how that works is, yeah. See, that's how our spirit is. If it's not activated, then it's dead and it can't respond to God. Only those who have the Holy Spirit imparted to them at salvation can respond to God. Only those who have been activated can respond to God. Listen how Romans 6 declares it. Because we know that Christ, the anointed one, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all. And the life that he lives, look at this, he is living it unto God. Now you want to talk about an activated spirit? Jesus was activated. His spirit was alive unto God the Father. That's what he's saying right here. Says the life that he lives, he's living it to God in unbroken fellowship with him. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, your relation to it broken, but alive to God, alive to God. How is that possible? Because my spirit has been Activate it. When they had Gretna Fest, somebody said, you know, they got Lynyrd Skynyrd coming. Pastor, you go and see that? It's like, no. No. I don't appeal to me anymore. See, when your spirit is activated, the things that once were alluring to you are no longer holding that power. Because your spirit is alive unto God. I still do like the song Simple Man. No, I'll just throw that in. But things change when the spirit is activated. Now, what these verses are teaching us is that sin no longer controls our lives. Sin is the reason for a deactivated spirit. And those who have been spiritually reborn are now responsive to God and to his purpose. So because my spirit is now alive to God, I can experience vision in my spirit. Because vision comes from our spirit. That's why we call it spiritual vision. It happens on the inside of us. Spiritual rebirth is an event, but spiritual vision is a process. Let me move on to the next thing, and we're almost done. Birthing new vision. That's the title of the message. Isaiah 43, God said this, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it and know it? And will you not give heed to it? You better catch that one. Vision does not happen automatically. He's saying it right here. Remember, God's always moving. His plan's always going forward. You're either in it or you're out of it. Hello, somebody. You're either in it or you're out of it. God says, I'm doing something new. It's going to spring forth. He says, and when it springs forth, will you be able to understand it? Will you know it? Will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When God births new vision in our spirit, there's going to be a time of growth and development. Just like plants a vision in us, we must realize that something alive is living within. I feel so strongly about this message today because I know there are so many people who are living with no vision. Living with no vision. And I want to see that changed. It's on the inside of us. In natural childbirth, there is a transition from the womb of the mother into the natural world. I remember our last baby that was born was Josiah. And I remember the doctor coming in there. And y'all, if y'all been around me, y'all know I joke a lot, man. I have to sometimes be careful because we have so many new people coming into our church. And I sometimes have to be careful on Sunday mornings because not everybody understands my humor yet, you know. But the doctor was coming in and Becky, you know, she was in a lot of pain and they had already done their deal. And I'm joking and she's telling me, don't talk. It's just, you know. But I remember the doctor coming in and checking things out, and I remember him saying, he says, oh, boy, he's crowning nicely. You know what that, y'all know what that means, right? That's that transition coming from the womb into the natural world. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's why it's so give people. It's fighting to kill their babies. Greatest. God want to kill them. I don't understand it. But there's that transition from the womb into the natural world. Even so, in the birth of new vision, we must understand the transition. Transition is defined as the process or period of changing from one state or condition to another. Transition is all about change. When vision is conceived, it will require us, now I'm about to say something really strong here. When vision is conceived, it will require us to grow and to change. Many people think that vision just happens. But the truth is, birthing new vision, and here's going to be something strong, it's going to require a new commitment and greater dedication. Always does. And that's where many fall by the wayside. Why? Because they are not willing to make the commitment, and they are not willing to have greater dedication. They're not willing to do it. So they fall by the wayside. And then they begin to live without vision. And I'm telling you, there's multitudes of those kind of folks in the churches of America today. Multitudes of them. This vision process will always require us, here's another strong statement, to make lifestyle changes. It requires us to implement spiritual discipline. The house of God is one of those spiritual disciplines. We have to make a commitment to it. Prayer, we have to make a commitment to it. The Word of God, we have to make a commitment to it. See, we're talking about implementing spiritual discipline, birthing new vision. It means we have to stop doing what we want to do. Here's another one of those strong statements. We have to stop doing what we want to do so that we can serve a higher purpose. And I've always said this, people do what they want to do, they go where they want to go. It's always been that way. But we have to shift that in the right arena. If you want to live with vision, you have to shift that in the right arena. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 12. He says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Wow. Never lose sight, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Now we're talking about vision, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. The ultimate visionary was Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us he finished the race that he never lost sight of where he was going. He was so committed to the will of God, and he never lost sight of it. So the Bible says, study how he did it. Boy, that's a challenge. Let me give you the last thing right here. Vision is birthed by Christ within us. You want to have vision? You got to be sold out to Jesus Christ. You got to be dedicated to Christ. You got to be all in with Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul addresses the church in Galatia. He says, my little children, for whom I am suffering birth pains until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within you. Are y'all catching this? He's given us another analogy of giving birth. Right? He says, I'm suffering until my little children, for whom I am suffering birth pains. Birth pains. Paul's a man. He's given us an illustration, though. He's given us a spiritual message. He said, I'm suffering birth pains until Christ is completely, permanently formed and molded within you. In this scripture, Paul is expressing his concern over the spiritual condition of the believers there. Many were under the influence of Judaizers who were preaching that works were necessary for salvation. As a result of that influence, the Galatian believers became mean-spirited and legalistic. They had lost the spirit of Christ. And now they're mean. We've seen it in the religious world. There's a lot of preachers on TV. I'll listen to them like, what are they so mad about? Right? You've seen them. See, they were under the influence here of Judaism. They were missing the true spirit of Christ. They were not reflecting Christ in their lives. That's why Paul said, I am travailing in birth pains until Christ is formed in you. Now that phrase, until Christ is formed in you, is very significant. God's purpose for every believer is for them to be transformed into the character of Christ. Here is the process of vision. As we grow deeper into Christ, vision is birthed. That's how it happens. And that's the reason why so many people have no vision, because they don't go deep in Christ. They stay on the outer fringe. They don't go any further. Now, let's look at that word formed. Y'all ready for this? This word form comes from this Greek word that means to develop into a distinctive entity. This Greek word for form means the formation of an embryo in the womb. Yeah. He's talking in a spiritual sense. So as Christ is formed in you and I, there is an embryo of vision that is happening. Hallelujah. That's what keeps me so pumped up. Because it's on the inside. It keeps fueling and fueling and fueling and fueling. That's why I want to go deeper into Jesus. I want more of Christ. Because as Christ is formed within, the ultimate visionary is Jesus Christ. And the more Christ is formed in you, you can't help but step into his vision. He says it'll be like an embryo till it is formed. Till it is formed. I am suffering birth pains until Christ is formed. Hallelujah. Until there is an embryo, there is a vision on the inside. When you have that kind of motivation, that's what made Paul what he was. That's why he wrote over half of the New Testament letters. Because that vision, it was inside of him. Because Christ was inside of him.